don't speak. Don't disappoint us. Well, he just heard him say, I'm not going to disappoint you, anybody, but you may. So, amen. Oh, my goodness. Well, how many have had a good week? How many have had some encounters with the presence of God this week? We're going to talk about that this morning. Matthew chapter 1. Last week the message was called Friends Forever. And I would encourage you to make that a must listen on occasion to remind ourselves not only the greatness of God's friendship towards us, but the friendship that God's creating among us. Because the glory of God is the realm that friendship is created from. Any friendship that you have not created in the glory is a friendship that has a timer on it. Because everything that's created in the flesh will ultimately be lost. But everything that's created in the spirit will always remain. That which is born of the flesh is temporary. That which is born of the spirit is permanent. So when we measure quantity versus quality, it's important to remember that quantity means nothing. Quality means everything. You may be surrounded by thousands of people in any given situation, but if you don't know any of those people, then just by being surrounded by them profits you nothing. It's only in being who you know and who knows you that makes profit in your life. Because that's the creation of how that the Spirit works. It's not based upon simply having an acquaintance. It's based upon having the intimate knowledge of the acquaintance. So when Jesus came and literally invaded our life by giving his life. No greater love have a man than he laid down his life for his friend. That's not a thing that we say, well, maybe lay down our life or hopefully lay down our life, but it's actually laying down our life. Jesus actually did die for us. Amen? And by that action of his sacrifice of death, he cemented a relationship with us that's eternal. He had to make an eternal commitment in order to have an eternal result. See, every result you have in your life is based upon the depth of commitment you make to it. The greater the commitment you make in the spirit, the greater results you receive. If your commitment is shallow, then the results are only temporal. There's nothing more dissatisfying in life than to have temporal results. Things that sprang up quickly, but go away just as fast. They may bring a momentary excitement or thrill to us, but they have no lasting benefit for us. Are you listening? They may bring a momentary blessing to us, but they have no lasting benefit for us. It's only through the realm of spirit that things are created that lasts for an eternity. Now, when the Lord came to this young virgin called Mary and spoke to her by the angel, he said that, Mary, you have been chosen to bear forth a son, and his name will become Jesus, who will save his people from their sin. But Lord, I've not yet been with a man. How can this be so? Well, it's so because the Holy Spirit is going to come, this word that I'm speaking to you, and he's going to create it in you. Wow. So Mary made the thing that was so powerful is that she consented to this union by saying, be it done unto me according to thy word. Everybody say, the first step to my transformation is allowing the Word of God to be planted within me. See, the reality is that there's no power nor ability within yourself to ever change yourself. This becomes the great frustration of humanity, is trying to find change and transformation without the presence and the Word of God. God brings forth both by the Word and by the Spirit to bring transformation. God is Spirit and God is truth. So when God becomes real to us, He reveals Himself through His Word and He empowers us by His Spirit. So the Word was spoken to Mary, and the Spirit of God came and activated that Word within her life because she was compliant to what God's will was for her. Say step one is compliance. That's why that in order to receive from God, you must position yourself for that reception. And that reception is only accomplished by the step that you make in a place of humility and submission to receive what God wants for your life, no matter what the consequences or the perception of what it is. But the unwavering faith that says, I believe God above my own judgment. Amen. How many know that God has your interest at heart more than you have your own? That's how much He loves you. Sometimes when we put our interest above the interest of God, we think we're being smart, but we're really not, because our interests are seldom His interests. His interests are greater than our interests for ourselves. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. His purpose is far more identifying and defining me than what I can do so myself by what God speaks to us. So Mary said, Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. You know, and I like to think about the pattern of the Lord, because everything that happened in bringing forth Christ and everything that happened after Christ was manifested, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and all the steps of Christ all the way up through His crucifixion and His resurrection is the exact same pattern that we follow, which makes Christianity 101 very simple. I will follow the Lord just the way He followed His Father. Thus, I'll have the same conclusion or the same outcome that He has. What's the ultimate outcome that Christ had? He was seated in heavenly places with the Lord. What's my goal this morning? To be seated in heavenly places with the Lord. I was driving down the road this morning. I had a great encounter. I was listening to KLBJ, I believe it is, 98 point something. And it's a gospel on Sunday morning. It's a gospel station. And I don't know about you, Dale, but I like some of the old-time gospel stuff every now and then. I mean, just call me an old-timer, right? You know, some glad day when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Anyway, so I'm driving down the road, and I'm listening to this music, and all of a sudden, I let my gaze not just be on the road that was ahead of me, which it should be, right? Okay. My gaze got higher than the normal. I put my headlights on bright. All of a sudden, my vision went up a little higher. I could still see below, but I could also see above at the same time. The minute I did that, the glory of God came on me. And I said, wow, be careful, because I had to tone it down a little bit. I had to dim the lights a little, because I didn't want to kill my physical flesh, even though it would have been a wonderful transition. Pastor crashes on the way to church and went to heaven, right? No, I knew I needed to be here this morning. I'll save the crash for another day, right? So I lifted my eyes up, and when I did, I became aware of the presence of the Lord. See, I'm learning that the focus that I choose to make is the place that places me in the place I need to be. Your focus will position you in the place that you need to be. So when you look in on this realm, you're only going to find the solutions on that realm. But if you look to a higher place, you'll find the heavenly solution that God has for you. And I'm reminded that my mind is not to be upon the things that are below or the base elementary things of this world, but my mind is to be upon the things that are pure and lovely. So I come up out of myself and I begin to dwell in a place that's different than what I'm living in now. That's the place I want to be living, is in a higher place. A place where the purity of God is expressed to my life, because that's where my identity is found. You see, your identity is never found on this level. Your identity is only found on that level. Because it's never about who you are and what you do. It's about who He is and what He does. And that's where the church has gotten a little bit backwards in these last days. It's focused. It's taken the worldly viewpoint of self-correction, self-improvement, self-edification, and it's used that to the detriment of the glory of God. Because it's dropped our focus down from where the true presence and the power of God is that really does transform us. We're thinking that there's something in us that creates in us something that we're to be, but there is nothing in us that's worthy to create it. Our sufficiency is not from ourselves, but all of our sufficiency is from the Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. You guys are good listeners, but you can also be an amener if you'd like. You know. Just try something strange. I know it's foreign for most of you. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. You know, when you grow up in the Baptist, you still got that amen stuff structured on you. You got to have it or you feel like you're missing the point. Amen. Hallelujah. In some places you grow up, say, come on, preach it, brother, preach it. Let it fly out of your mouth. Let it be a Jeremiah moment that the words that was in thy bones has been shut up. Let it come out like fire. Woo. Let there be a creation. Let this be the hour that we say, like it says in Matthew chapter 1, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You know, one thing that God the Father has been on for many years, thousands of years, is this mission that He has, this idea of somehow bringing His glory to the earth, manifesting His presence to His people. And look what He's had to deal with. He's had to deal with us, people of the flesh, people that are dominated and controlled by the things of this world, ruled by the god of this age, ruled by their own affections and desires and lust and greed, ruled by the natural mind that's an enemy against God. God's had to combat all that. It's been like a great battle in heaven. But through Jesus Christ coming to the earth, He said, now, get ready. I am with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. And that's what I hope this morning we receive from this message, that God is really with us and that we're not alone, that we don't have to dig this out of the dirt and try to create something that we could imagine to create, because it's already been created for us. We don't have to battle the devil that is going to whap us upside the head and knock us silly, because Christ said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. We don't have to fight the fight that many have fought, the fight that they didn't need to fight, because you're not in the ring. He is in the ring. He won the victory. Hallelujah. He knocked the devil down for the count of 10. We stand in His victory. We stand in His triumphant defeat of the enemy. We stand in His triumph ascension to the throne. That's who we are in that place. Hallelujah. Woo. My goodness. You know, I got so much stuff, I can't ever get to it this morning. Should we quit? Okay, we'll go on a little. We should go on a little bit longer. Believe me, when the people speak, I listen. 1973 was a good year. I love the wine from 1973. A vintage wine. Yummy. Whew. You know, they just say if you drink a little wine, not a lot. Okay, some of you, be careful. Not a lot of wine, but a little wine. It keeps the doctor away. Helps your heart. Helps you not have cancer. You know, all that good stuff. So drink a little wine. In the Bible, it says drink a little wine, but don't get drunk with wine. Amen. There's only one legitimate high that man can have. It's not marijuana. No, no, no. It's not wine. No, 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 no. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be ye not drunk with wine, as the manner is of some, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit, Landon. Hallelujah. Let Landon be a recipient of a bottle of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Drink it, Landon. Drink it. Chug lug that. Everybody say, let's chug lug some Lord. Amen. I used to do that when I was in college. I was a champion chug lugger. And I hate to admit that. Thank God the teenager or the kids aren't here. I can't. I'm alcohol intolerant now. Really am. I can't hardly look at it. But I wasn't back then. And so I would go to the Pizza Hut and order a pitcher of beer. And I could take a whole pitcher of beer and drink it without ever coming up for air. And you know what the side effects of that was? I had goosebumps all over. I started freezing. My body temperature would actually go down probably three or four degrees. And I had the chills. All I'm going to tell you, as wonderful maybe as that felt, which it really wasn't that wonderful, by the way, there's nothing like drinking from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because the gut bumps you get from that aren't the kind of bumps that freak you out and make you sick. These are the bumps of glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's the bumps of glory. And the Lord said that in these last days, there's going to be a people that pursue the glory of God. In order to pursue the glory of God, it must mean there's an abandonment of all the things that we sought before that satisfied us. Because now we realize that that doesn't satisfy us. Religion does not satisfy us. Old doctrines don't satisfy us. Theology doesn't satisfy us. Systems don't satisfy us. Programs don't satisfy us. The only thing that will satisfy us is the glory of God. And in 1973, when the angels sang to us, my friend and I in Louisiana, we heard the angels sing. It was only for a brief second. And let me tell you this. If you tell me you've heard the angels sing for 30 minutes, I'll call you a liar, because you can't live for 30 minutes in that kind of presence. Now, if you're still alive after you've heard that, believe me, I'm going to know that you're different. Hello? Because every encounter with God leaves you different than what it found you at. There's no such thing as meeting the King of Glory and being the same. Your actions will be different. Your words will be different. Your commitment will be different. Your heart will be different. Because when you meet Him, you become like Him. It's impossible to avoid that process of transformation when you come into the presence of the Lord. So what I heard the angels sing, and it just devastated me. Not in a bad way, but in a way where, my Lord, I just thought I had something special till I heard this. Did you know that there's coming a day in the house of God that the worship will become so purely expressed to the Lord that we will hear from heaven. What would it be like for you to come into a service and all of a sudden the heavens were open and you begin to see what God has for you? Just like it said in the book of Luke, when it's talking about the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ being birthed, the shepherds came and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and good will towards men." Wow. When Christ came, there was an announcement of his coming. And it was the announcement of the coming of the glory of God to the earth. This glory, who was dwelt with the Father, became manifested. You see, God is saying in this hour, there's a people like a Mary. They're going to say, "Lord, be it done unto us according to thy word." We yield our hearts and our minds and our spirit and our lives. We give to you. And when there's a people like that that arise, when there's a people that fully commit their hearts to God, there will be a birthing of glory upon the earth the world has never seen. And the angels will proclaim it. Hark, the angels are singing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as Christ came as a singular man, he himself said, "Now I am limited in these last days to come now as a corporate man, as a many-membered body to be revealed upon the earth." The whole church world will say, "Oh, when is Jesus coming back again?" We need to start looking around and saying, "Here he comes." He's coming through a people. If you think that you have an isolated relationship to God and it's just you and God only and to heck with the rest of us, no, it doesn't work that way. God is coming back through a people. You better become a part of a people if you want to be a part of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, surely he'll come back more than just through us. We don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's just through you. But at least it's us, right? Surely God will come to the earth besides just this little baby in a manger with no roof over his head, no reputation, no pedigree, no lineage of inheritance. Surely God will come forth through some mighty man or even a woman that everyone will know this must be the king. No, he came through a babe who became a carpenter, who was of no reputation. He had no status. Nothing in him was to be admired by anyone. But yet here was God manifested in him. That's why God chose the base and the lowly things of the world to reveal his glory. Thank God. You see, he's chosen you. Not many mighty here this morning. Not many noble. I don't know of any of you that have been knighted. There's probably not very many people that call you Sir Walter or Sir William or Lady Jane or, you know, you're not from that royalty line, right? How about it? Anyone? No. Not many of you here are spoken of in the annals of humanity as being something special. Probably not any of you. But in the eyes of God, you're the people that he's going to reveal himself through. Amen. You're of the highest order. You're of the grand order. You're of the kingly order. You are kings and priests unto God. You are those people, the chosen ones of God, a holy nation set apart by the Lord to reveal his glory to the earth. Yet if you're like I am, I get caught up sometimes in my little bitty problems. How many know what problems are? I like that old gospel song, Dale. If I didn't have a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I've got confidence. God is going to treat me well. Amen? Wow. Oh, man. I'm not even going to get to the book of Hebrews. So I'll skip over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Because this could be one of those messages that just goes on and on and on till the cows come in. I understand now, you know, when Paul, what was it, Paul that preached so long that people were falling out of the, I mean, hours. Because how can you stop when you get, if you're a miner and you're going down there and you're digging a hole and looking for gold and you find a vein of gold, how in the name of God can you stop? If you'd been digging and all of a sudden you come across a vein of gold and they say, okay, it's been an hour, you got to quit. No way, man. I'm going to keep picking until all that gold comes out of that vein. How many know you'd work until you fell over? Pull you out with a cord, said, okay, now you can pull me out of the mine, and as soon as I get rested up, I'll go back in. That's the way it ought to be in the house of God. The hunger that God is putting in us, it ought to be like we found a gold mine. We found a place. We found a reservoir of life that has never been discovered before. This new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven, this new city that's been adorned by God is coming down in the midst of us. How else can we be but be excited and be consumed with what God is giving us? But our eternal clock says, no, it's just lunchtime. Lunchtime. Woo. Man, if we only knew the lunch that was before us. Living bread. Living water. It quenches every thirst. Satisfies ever hunger. This man named Jesus, we found him. Oh, we found him. We found the Lord. His name is Jesus. This Emmanuel, this God is with us. Oh God, my soul doth magnify the Lord, she says. My soul rejoices in that which is put within me. My heart yearns for you, as David would cry. My heart panteth after the water brook. This is the Christ at the church in this hour. The Lord's saying, awaken, O church, and seek this Lord again. Awaken and come back to this place where this is all that you desire. Quit desiring these things of man, that man has created, that man's impregnated into the body of Christ. These systems and these programs and all these things that satisfy the soul. Come back to the Spirit. Come back to the glory. This is where I'm going to bring my kingdom to the earth. The glory of God being revealed through us. Christ is in you, my friend, the hope of glory. Woo! Turn on them light bulbs. Whew. Man, I want it to be where everywhere I go. I said, that guy's different. Something about him. Let me think about it. What is it different about him? Could be the glory. There's some glory in that guy. Wow. I don't know about you, Dell, but Dell's getting on up there in years, and I'll never catch up to him, by the way. I'm always going to be younger. But the more I get into this glory, I feel like I'm 20. How about you? I mean, I know that we creak around most of the time, but boy, when you get into this, do you feel it, Dell? I'm going to ask you, Dell, do you feel it? You feel the energy of the glory of God. Don't make any difference how old you are, right? Dell lived to be 100. You can look at Dell. He'll make 100. And when the glory comes on him, he might walk in like some old decrepit man. But when the glory gets on him, he's going to stand straight and he's going to proclaim the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's something about his presence. That's why Moses cried out, oh God, if thy presence doesn't go with us, don't let us go up from this place. Because the presence of God is the most coveted thing that any human being can ever possess. It's worth more than silver and gold. It's worth more than fame and riches. It's worth more than personal accolades or accomplishments. One moment in the presence of God. I mean, I wouldn't trade my little drive-in this morning for anything. Because His presence is with me. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Lord, help me. I'm going to a chili cook-off this afternoon in a pie-tasting contest. I mean, if there's anything that's close to heaven, it's pie-tasting contest. Whew. You know, I just have a feeling the Lord isn't into all this new kind of dessert. I have a feeling that the Lord, when He puts out a smorgasbord for us, it'll be lemon meringue, chocolate meringue, coconut cream. Not some of these chocolate things. Chocolate this, chocolate that. Just good old pie. I realized that the world had left me behind, that when all of a sudden you'd go places and, what do you want for dessert? I want a piece of chocolate meringue pie. Huh? What's that? What do you mean, what's that? That's heaven. Most people have lost heaven on earth. They go to all these creme brulee, cognac, bread pudding. I don't know. What all that stuff? Okay. That sounds pretty good, though. Cognac bread pudding, right? Okay. Yeah. How many could use a little cognac right now? Okay. Have another drink. Hallelujah. Pop a top again. Woo! Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Somehow I wound up in Galatians, but we'll go to Corinthians. I've done that before. I'll say, turn to this, and everyone will turn to that, but I've actually turned to something else. And then I'll read that, and I'll preach that. And they're looking at the Scripture, and they're looking, what kind of nut is this? I mean, I'm looking at the Scripture He told me to, and He's preaching another one. Okay, but I'm not going to do that to you today. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Wow, the Lord is good, isn't He? Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Everybody say, my sufficiency is from God. Verse 9. Or if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Now we know, and we could have got there in Hebrews, but there's an old covenant and there's a new. And the old covenant and the new covenant are not compatible. In fact, it says that one is becoming obsolete so the other can be manifested. And it's the same process of what's happening in you. Is that the old nature is becoming obsolete so the new man can live. So when Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but now I live by faith in the Son of God, in Christ. So as the old man perishes, the new man comes alive. See, the less that we bring to the equation, the greater the manifestation of what God can reveal into us and through us. The Lord doesn't need your intellect. He doesn't need your effort. He doesn't need your commitment. He doesn't need anything that you would bring to Him, because He wants to supply everything that you have need of. You say, well, boy, I've just got to really press into God. And don't get me wrong, that's a good statement. But it's really not your pressing in that gets you there. It's your willingness to let His nature of pressing in get in you. Oh, I just got to get my life right with God. No, you can't get your life right with God. You have sinned and you fall short of His glory. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. So your best effort to become righteous will miserably fail you. And if it does seem to succeed in you for a season, it will eventually catch up to you and grab you in the you know where again. Oh, I thought I had overcome that. Now look at me now. The only way you overcome is because he is the overcomer. The only way you become righteous is because he is the righteousness of God. And if I'm going to be righteous, I have to find my righteousness in him. Now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So no sufficiency comes from him. Nothing comes from the old in order to create the new. The old things are passed away. Thank God. You see, when you look to yourself, you will fail in yourself. And the scriptures in Hebrews talks about that, that God comes through Christ through the shedding of his precious blood. Everybody say the blood is precious. Because the blood of Christ is that which cleanses us from all unrighteousness and all sin. Our salvation only comes through the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross. When he died there and bled there, that blood has the power to forgive your sins. Not only does it forgive your sins, but the thing that we've talked about in the past that we often don't remember, not only does God forgive our sins, but God forgets our sins. And until we can receive the forgiveness and the forgetfulness of sin, we'll always be trapped in that which we don't want to be. Oh, bless God, I just can't make it. No, you're right. You can't. Oh, I'm failing. Yes, right. You're a failure. See, agree quickly with your adversary. And we're our greatest adversary, right? So when you start getting all this negative stuff popping out of your mouth, yeah, that's a bunch of junk. I agree with you. Yeah, you're right. That's stupid. Amen. I'm stupid for even saying it. For if a man, whatever he believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth, this is what he becomes. So I have to let my confession line up with him. And what I'm speaking is this, that I do not regard myself as anything. But I have the highest regard that he is everything. So when I look to myself and I look to my past, oh, I got to get counseling. And don't get me wrong, if you're a professional counselor here this morning, don't be offended by the fact that I want to put you out of business. Because counseling has this premise, is to identify who you are, what you've gone through, who's hurt you, who's offended you, why your mother wasn't nice, your father wasn't nice, why your brothers and sisters corrupted you, how the world mistreated you, and how in the name of God, let's go in now and correct all that by exposing it. Forget about it. That has no place in the kingdom. Because you don't bring all your junk into the kingdom and ask God to refine it. God doesn't remember it. And he doesn't want you to remember it either. Well, don't you know my dad was so mean to me, he hurt me. I don't care. Jesus came to redeem you. Your dad may have hurt you, knocked you down. Your mother may have rejected you. Your brothers and sisters may have spit on you. But that doesn't give you an excuse not to accept the provision of the blood of Christ. And that he said, if I'm going to forgive your sins and forget your sins, then you've got to forgive and forget as well. Amen. Amen. Yes, see, the long as you keep remembering what's wrong, you'll always become a victim. Because you'll always have excuse for not moving it forward, because you'll always feel limited by what's happened to you. So it always makes you a victim. You're a victim. I'm a victim. Oh, I'm a victim. And so you go through counseling. And then you spend thousands of dollars to come out. Oh, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. 5 years later, I need more counseling. No, you need more glory. You need more glory because the glory lifts you up out of that which you were. And all of a sudden you begin to become aware of who He is. It's never about you. It's always about Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the desire of your affection. You'll only change when you have a change, transformation, by meeting the King of glory. Well, but I don't believe that, Pastor. I'm going to still do it. Go ahead and do your counseling. That's fine. You'd be better off giving the money to the church and getting on the altar. This is the greatest counseling place you'll ever find, because here is where that man will come and he'll put his hand on your head, say, "You are my son. You are my child. I love you. Forget about who you were. This is who you are." I know I'm stirring up some stuff, but that's my middle name. Walter the Stirrup Heart. Speaking the truth to you in love. You confirm it, Dale? He confirms it. As long as Dale confirms it, I'm on the right track. Of course, I put him on the spot. You know, no, wait a minute, Pastor. You're speaking the wrong thing. Counseling's all right if that's the level you want to go. But I want to go higher. I mean, I want something greater. I don't even think about my childhood. I don't think about, now part of that may be age. I don't think about any mistreatment I suffered at the hands of my father, my mother. Thank God it wasn't much, but it was some. Or my peers, or my teachers. And I don't want to live in the land of victimhood. I want to be diffused with the knowledge of Christ. I want the fragrance of Christ to be diffused within me so that the victory is in me. Greater is the Lord in me than he that's in the world. Greater is the Lord than he than what I used to be. I am this in Christ now. Hallelujah. I've been transformed by the glory of God. Woo. I know this isn't sitting well with some of you, because some of you just love living in the land of victimhood. Go ahead and be a victim. But I'm going to march in the land of victory. And hopefully one day you'll see. Hopefully one day you'll follow. Just as Paul said, just as I'm going, you follow me. Come on, follow me. I'm going to lead you from glory to glory, from image to image. I'm going to take you into the land of unlimited potential and unlimited opportunity. I'm going to take you into a place where you begin to see yourself just the way God sees you, through the blood of Christ, which is a life totally cleansed from sin. And the bondage of sin, and the ramifications of sin, and the consequences of sin. Christ took all away for you. Wow. You feel my passion this morning? This ain't my passion, honey. It's the Lord's passion. This is the Lord speaking to you this morning. Oh, wait a minute. You're saying God is speaking to you? Yes, He is. Through a vessel. The Bible said we understand and we hear and we transform by the preaching of the Word of God. This is the Word of God that will set you free. It will liberate you, will create in you, and begin to transform you into that which God has called you to be. Amen. It's time to take off the diapers and put on the big boy pants. Time to get out of that nursery that has written over the top of the door, victims, and come into the land of the victory. And believe me, I couldn't preach on this if I didn't hadn't been through it myself many times. Too many times you've found me down at Victim Hotel. I mean, I might have been in Victim Hotel yesterday, but bless God, I ain't no Victim Hotel today. Amen. I'm standing on streets of gold. I'm standing in a place of approval and acceptance and confirmation from the Lord Himself. Wow. I got to conclude this. Whew. You don't pay me enough to go much longer, by the way. If you want longer messages, increase the pay. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what you're going to do now. You're going to decrease it. You're going to decrease the pay. Okay. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses' veil lies on our heart. How many? Say this with me. This is the veil taking down day. You know what a veil is? It is the sky, isn't it? It's the thing that something that keeps something out of your life. So we're going to take the veil off. Take the veil off. Because when the Lord comes, the veil is removed. All of a sudden, it's mano-a-mano. I mean, we are definitely, we're confronted with the Lord. I mean, wow, God, here you are right in the midst of me. Woo. Take the veil off. Woo. Ah. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Everybody say, I'm turning to the Lord. Let's just do a little imaginary deal. I'm going to turn to my right. You turn to your right. No, you turn to your left because I'm turning to my right. So, no, wait. Yeah, you turn to your left. So we'll all turn the same way. Okay, on the count of three. One. And what we're going to do on the count of three? We're going to turn to the Lord. Two. Three. Okay, did you do it? Turn to your left. Okay, we're turning to the Lord. Okay, now, one, two, three, we're going to turn to the other direction. One, two, three. Okay, so we're turning to the Lord. What is turning to the Lord? It's an act of faith, isn't it? It's a positioning of yourself in a place where the anticipated desire will happen. Nothing happens until you happen. And the happening is that all you have to do to get this is turn to it. It's what repentance is, isn't it? Repentance isn't saying, oh my God, I got to repent of all my sins. And then you hear this voice. Didn't you repent of this last year? Yeah, and you know, it was the year before too. In fact, it was the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. And the year before that, if you get to be 70, it's a lot of years. I've been repenting for the same sins over and over and over again. Yeah. Until my repenter is almost wore out. How many know that it's not nice to have a worn out repenter? It really isn't. Hello, live stream. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But And not to the men. That was just to the women watching. Okay. oh, the chili calls me. so repent, repent, repent. Now, nothing wrong with repentance, but let's define what true repentance really is. True repentance is acknowledging that which was old in our life and that which we failed at in our life, that our sin and our disobedience is something we should reject. Right? And we also should be remorseful for it. Oh God, I repent for the things of my heart, the attitudes, the deeds of my flesh. But that alone won't solve the problem. It's only repentance is when you turn to the Lord. Amen? Because the moment that happens, the moment you turn to the Lord, guess what? He never fails to meet you there. Did you know God is not a liar as the manner of some men? It's impossible for you to turn to the Lord and not expect a meeting with God. If you turn to the Lord, I challenge you this week. Because maybe you've been like I am and I forget to turn to the Lord. Maybe not. But spend 1 minute this week. Okay, 1 minute. Everybody raise your right hand, finger and say, 1 minute. I'm going to spend 1 minute turning to the Lord. That will change your life. Now, you know, Dale will tell you it was spend an hour in prayer. That's the ideal, right? But what about just start out with 1 minute? Because 1 minute will change your life. But you know how many, few Christians actually spend turning to the Lord daily? I would venture to say not very many. We turn to the beggarly things, the elementary things, to the fallen things, the discouraging things, to the fear things, to the victim things. But how many turn to the Lord? Amen. Wow. Oh. Lift up your eyes. Just do that just for a moment. Just hold your head kind of steady. And you're maybe looking at me. But just kind of look just above me just for a moment. Just kind of focus. You're going where he's go, where he is. See, he is above. He's not below. He didn't live under the law, under condemnation, under anxiety, under fear, under the past. He never thinks about, look what they did to me on the cross. I mean, if there's any person that ever lived that should have be carrying an axe to grind, it should be Jesus. A perfect man that had no sin, and they subjected him to the most horrendous death that a man could endure, of not only the torture, the extreme depravity of what they did to him, the extreme rejection, the lies, totally abandoned by even his own heart. He felt abandoned by God at that moment. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If there's any man that ever lived that should be grieved over what's happened to him and forever live as a victim, it would be Jesus. Yet none of that is who he is today. He's been lifted up, seated with the Father in heavenly places to rule and reign forever. He doesn't spend one moment, I would venture to say, thinking about the horrible thing that he went through, because he's in the presence of his Father. And when you get in the presence of the Father through Christ, through the blood of the Jesus Christ who was given for you, when you come into the presence of the Lord, you come boldly into the throne of grace in your time of need. And at that point, everything becomes yours. You go from being this earthly, sensual, bound, frustrated person to this being that's been created by the living God into a new creation, new creature, new identity, new outlook, new faith, new vision. Everything is new. Behold, I've come to make everything new in you. You are my creation. Wow. So you may be laying on a sick bed. That's what I was recently on, surgeries and stuff. I said it last week. That was the greatest moment. One of the greatest moments of my life. I've had so many, but that was one of the greatest. It was the most recent greatest. Where it gave me an opportunity. I'm sitting in my office, and I had this thing running out of my body. You know what I'm talking about. And that's not pleasant. Believe me. Holes in my belly. Pain. And I'm sitting there in the chair, getting freaked out with the glory. So all of a sudden, I wasn't defined by this hunk of flesh that's laying in this chair, recovering from this surgery. Oh, my God. I'm sitting there. Oh, man. And Dale will tell you that I talked to him the day after the surgery. I preached to him for 20 minutes on the phone, didn't I? 45 minutes. I don't remember it hardly. But it was weird, wasn't it? Dale calls up, how you feeling, Bill? You feeling, man, Dale, this is, I start telling him about the kingdom. And I'm not bragging on myself, maybe a little, but I'm not bragging on myself because it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I don't have the strength or the aptitude or the fortitude or the will to do that in myself. I want to feel sorry for myself. I want to say, oh my God, come over and give me something. Bring me, help me, help me, help. No, it's terrible. I know that it sounds trite, but it's real. If you can, no matter what you're going through, even if you're on your deathbed and the doctor said, there is no hope for you. There's no way you're going to make it. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Look up. The glory of God is greater than anything else around you. Amen. I got to quit. I cannot stand it when I go an hour. It does fill up Dale's time slot from 9 to 10 every Sunday morning on bpnradio.com. Is that right, .com? I'm trying to sound like Dale. This is Dale Gentry from bnpradio.com, broadcasting to you via the internet throughout the whole world. Over 50,000 people have tuned into our broadcast, and you are one of the lucky ones today. But we with, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. Everybody say, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is. The Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 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 So whatever you're, find yourself in, if it's on a sick bed, if it's on a deathbed, if it's in a place of hurt, place of pain, place of remembrance, uplook your heart to the Lord with an unveiled face, and where the Spirit of the Lord becomes real to you, there will be liberty for you, freedom for you, deliverance for you, hope for you, the future for you. There's where it's at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we with all an unveiled face, stand up with me. We with all an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's read it again. But we with all unveiled face, verse 18 of chapter 3, beholding as in a mirror. Everybody say with me, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.